Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We have a guest today, David Krieger. We had the pleasure of him joining us back, I think it was in February. Time really flies. He will be joining us right after the first segment of the program at 20. A little after 20 after, right after the first break. So we'll be talking about coins today, or he will be talking about coins and bullion and even some foreign gold. So make sure you stay tuned. So we're looking forward to having David Krieger as a guest. But today is April 10th, 2013. It's Wednesday. And we're also having a major thunderstorm coming through here on in central Pennsylvania. So power have a tendency to leave us. And if that happens, Alfred and David will continue with the interview. So if I disappear, we will be back tomorrow. I hear you, Al. So.
No, I wasn't making any noise. You didn't hear me,
yeah,
Melody.
Yeah, I got great ears.
You may be, you're getting intuitive about, you can kind of understand when I'm grinning, even when I'm making, I'm not laughing, but you can understand my grinning.
Yes. Gold wasn't any grinning in gold markets today, and a lot of people were probably crying today with the gold market today. We have gold down $26 today at $15.59. You have silver down 35 cents at $27.73. Platinum was down $16 today at $15.33, and palladium was down 9 at $723. And you have the USDX trading a little bit higher, 0.15 at 82.53. Crude oil today was up a couple cents, 35 cents at 94.55. And, of course, Wall Street is giddy. They're giddy with all kinds of record highs being met today. You have the Dow up 128 points at 14,802. And yes, we're going to hit 15,000, so just get used to it, folks. NASDAQ up 59 at 32.97. S&P 19 at 15.87. The question is, are we going to hit 16,000? And does it really matter? Do those numbers mean anything? And of course, I guess it does if you're holding the right stocks, but once you hit highs, folks, you know, it'd probably be a good idea to sell some of them. 10-year yield, 0.06 at 181, and you have, I guess that's it on the numbers. The tech sector really led the rally today, again, as the NASDAQ was up about 1.8%. But the discussion on why gold went down was due mainly Goldman Sachs came out with a report saying we don't like gold. You know, we don't think gold is going to do very well. And they made a new prediction that they expect to see gold at $1,545 an ounce for the year, for 2013, and even lowered the 2014 outlook for gold. And Deutsche Bank came out and they reduced its year-end forecast, not as bad as Goldman, at $1,637 an ounce, and they're out there telling everybody to short it. So folks, you know, it's easy to manipulate the masses, and when you have the numbers to back it up, and guess who'll be making the most money on all these trades? It'll be Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank. And, of course, they also came out, and I guess the Fed came out and stressed that possibilities of pulling back on the stimulus, quantitative easing. And it's like, well, how can they do that? You had an employment number far than, you know, even halfway what they were expecting, at 88,000, they were expecting, what, 190, 200,000 jobs to have been created. So I can't imagine that they are that willing to pull out of the stimulus too much soon. And you know what, Al? It all comes back to, you know, they think that the U.S. economy is getting better, and they think the housing market is getting better. And this is what they're basing their lowering of the pricing. And even with the problems, Europe's debt, if they're so concerned about Europe's debt problems, I mean, let's look in our own backyard. I mean, you just have all these things going on, even disappointing U.S. economic data, but yet they're saying that they have more.
You know, part of the reason that they anticipate that things will become relatively better here in the United States is because things may become relatively worse in Europe and or Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, you got that teeter-totter effect, and we are. It's kind of like the difference between being on the bow of the Titanic and the stern of the Titanic. It may be that if the bow starts to go underwater, it's wise to move to the stern, but the truth of the matter is the stern will follow the bow. And what I'm trying to illustrate is that in difficult economic times, if Europe and or Japan is, figuratively speaking, the bow of the Titanic and it's going down, they'll flood back to the stern of the ship. And it will be the best they can do at the time, perhaps, but the fact remains the stern is going to follow the bow. And where I'm, you know, to expand the analogy a little bit more, what I'm talking about is people are relying in every one of those instances, Europe, United States, Japan, they're relying on fiat currencies. And I think they're going down. But as some go down, relatively speaking, people will rush to the other fiat currencies that are still up. The dollar will perhaps be the last fiat currency standing. And then when that goes down, then everybody's going to wish to God they had some gold. But it's possible that before the dollar goes down, the last fiat currency goes down. In the meantime, some of the foreign countries will go down first, and people will flock to the U.S. dollar. If they do, price of gold may go down. We'll watch and see. That wouldn't be the only reason. I would bet that the majority of the reason is manipulation rather than world political events. But world political events seem to play into this. And so we'll watch and see. However, if the bow is going under, so is the stern. And it's just a question of time. And when the stern disappears, where will everyone go then? They will go to gold, and they will wish to God they were buying it when the price was low.
Well, what's interesting now is, you know, one of my callers today, he says, He says, I don't understand. He says, you know, premiums on 90% silver, premiums on silver eagles, premiums on everything going up. The U.S. Treasury is, you know, perhaps on the path of having a record year. And he says there's a big disconnect between the demand and the paper. And I said, absolutely. He says, but you know what's exciting? He says, that connection will be met again. And he says, and the prices, we say it all the time, it's just a matter of time. And folks, when you buy into gold and silver, it is a long-term investment. You have to look to the long-term fundamentals. If you're looking to trade on a day-to-day basis, don't bother. You know, don't bother. It's a long, unless it's paper. If you want to do miners that way, that's one thing. But when you take your physical gold, you hold it until the proper time, because I'll tell you what, this economy, it might look better than the rest, but the system, it's fractured. And until they fix our monetary system, there's only
or
one
it
way.
Fixes us.
There's only one way to go.
I mean, you can see reports. What do we see? We've got reports right now that Obama, for example, wants to reduce the amount of money that will be paid to Social Security recipients. This is consistent with an idea I've been talking about now for 4 or 5 years. What can't be paid won't be paid. The government's going broke. It can't pay all of its debts. One of the ways it will get out of those debts inevitably is inflation. They're going to inflate the dollar. They've been doing it persistently throughout my lifetime, which is why the dollar is worth maybe 3 cents compared to what it was when I was a little boy. They have been persistently inflating the dollar, although lately that inflation has not been obvious, at least not officially obvious. They haven't admitted it. But they're going to have to go back to inflation to get rid of the... If they're willing to cut Social Security, I guarantee you they're going to have to go back to serious inflation. If they're going back to serious inflation so they can pay off their debt with cheaper dollars, they'll still give you $1,200 a month for Social Security, but it will only have a purchasing power of perhaps $800 or $900 an ounce. You'll get a check for $1,200, but you'll only have $900 worth of purchasing power as compared to a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, however you want to calculate this. They are paying off the debt in cheaper dollars because they can't pay the debt. This is illustrated again by Obama's announcement that he wants to cut Social Security. Here's a Democrat who wants to cut Social Security. You have to look at that and say, what does this mean? It means there are powerful forces at work right now that even the Democrats have to respect. They can't continue as they have in the past, which means sooner or later the stuff's going to hit the fan, and when it does, the number one antidote for stuff flying through the air propelled by a fan is gold, and to a lesser extent, silver. And those of you who get it, well, you'll be in a better position than those of you who don't. If you don't understand this, and I know it's difficult, it's hard to believe at times and so on, but history, you know, history tells us, number one, all fiat currencies fail. It's a virtual certainty the dollar is going to fail, but we don't know when. And it's not going to be another 100 years. It could be 20. It might be 20 months. We don't know when the dollar's going down, but it's a fiat currency and it has to fail. They always do. What are you going to do to protect yourself? Gold, gold, gold. What else we got, Melody?
We got a thunderstorm here in Central Pennsylvania. I just don't like my headsets on at that time. But you know what, Al?
You may be able to curl your hair without having to visit the beauty shop, Melody.
Maybe. And get a tan, too.
Yeah, maybe that, too.
Look at all the money saved.
Turn down the volume, though, because you may not be able to hear quite as well if you get the full volume of kaboom.
Oh, I bet it'll go viral on the internet. Woman.
That depends on whether you got video or not. If you got video, yes. If it's just audio, audio doesn't do viral so well.
And you know what's funny about you have Goldman Sachs, Deutsche Bank coming out. Hey, they're all playing the trade. I mean, they play both sides of the trade, folks. You know, don't kid yourself. And, you know, they're there to make money. And if they can come out and they can slam a market, I mean, for one of the reasons, not all, there's additional reasons, but it's easy to move these markets one way or another. And
there's the problem.
That there's is the problem.
I have no objection to anyone making money, including Goldman Sachs. What I do object to is when they make money by manipulating the market. It's like going to a casino. I have no objection if you want to gamble your money in a casino. That's your business. But if the casino has fixed the game, the dice are loaded, the slot machine is fixed, the roulette wheel is running with magnets, if they have fixed the game, that game should not be played. And that's apparently what's happening right now in our gold market, silver markets. The game is being fixed, and we can only wonder how long they can fix it. But it seems to me that inevitably they have to. Reality has to come back. They can't continue to do this. And why can't they? Because they're not just fixing the game relative to the American people. They're fixing the game relative to people like China, for example, and foreign countries who can look at this, at the game, and they understand the casino, the particular casino, is running a crooked deck of cards. They're playing with marked cards. They're you know, you follow the analogy. And as long as they do, China will take the gold. India will take the gold. The price of fixing the game within the United States is allowing the chips to be siphoned off to foreign countries at fire sale prices. Inevitably, that will cause the manipulators to go broke, suffer severe losses, and eventually they'll say, to heck with this, I'm not going to play this game anymore. We're losing more than we're making, even with the manipulation. We are losing more than we're making. Not happening now, but it may happen in the near future. What else, Melody?
We have a question in from Richard. He says, what is the matter with these countries who let non-elected officials steal their deposits? The thieves are outnumbered millions to one. The depositors should do what Russia did. Russia said, you take our money and we know where you live. By putting limits on withdrawals, who would ever invest in the country? The country should be doomed. He thinks that if it happens here, all heck will break loose because people are tired of being raped. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts said people should do what it takes to stop this, and he emphasized, I am also surprised he called the U.S. government the real enemy of the people.
Absolutely. That's always been true, though. That's true for every nation on the face of the earth. The primary enemy of the people of Russia is the Russian government. Primary enemy of the people of China is the Chinese government. Primary enemy of the people of the United States of America is the government of the United States. Always been true. Government tries to tell us that our relationship between them and us is not adversarial, but it always is. Anyone who trusts their government is a freaking moron, and I don't care what government you're talking about. They're all in it for themselves. They are not in it for the people. We're going to break now. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Going to take a break for some commercial announcements. We will be back shortly. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or a risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the prostate kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Melody's going to give us our special du jour, and then she will introduce our guest du jour. Melody?
Actually, we're going to save the special until closer to the end of the program. We're going to be talking about some of the coins, or one of the coins, that we're going to be offering for a special today. So I would like to introduce David Krieger. He has joined us once before, back in February. And David is a retired captain in the U.S. Navy. And, of course, he served for over 29 years. And he's been in the gold and silver market for 17 years, both on the wholesale side and retail, rare coin and bullion markets. In 1997, David was actually one of the early rare coin websites. It was one of the first ones. And back in 1997, that was quite an accomplishment. Later, he moved to a wholesale trading with a large rare coin wholesale company in Tampa, and before joining a competitor in 2006. And also what I find interesting is that he was also a director at a state-of-the-art precious metals depository in Wilmington, Delaware, before starting Hobson NBT in 2009, in which he serves as a wholesaler to coin dealers like myself. Good afternoon, David.
Hi, Melody. It's good to hear your voice.
It's great to have you back. Al, would you like to say hello?
Hi, David. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, same here. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It seems a little, I don't know if the connection with Frank, but we'll mumble on a little bit as we go.
What's the problem, Melody? It's a little hard to hear.
I think you were a little close.
It's important to blame Frank for something during the course of the program. We try to blame Frank every day for something, and it's a contest between Melody and myself to think of something we can blame Frank for, and right now Melody's got the upper hand on this. So.
That's good. Well, as long as you can hear me a little bit, I'll do the best I can. If that's not good, you tell me what to do.
All right. Well, it sounds great.
Okay.
David, I know you like to describe three general areas of the coin market. Would you like to tell our listeners your view and what it and how it means and what it means to them, please?
Yeah, I will. When I talk to different people, I always ask, well, what's the right thing to do to accumulate gold and to buy the right thing? And I think what I mentioned the previous visit was there's really no right answer to that question. There are so many different ways you can do it. A lot of it depends on what you're comfortable with, what you like, what you decide is going to be your goal for accumulating gold. And in the most general way, I always think of it as three ways. You have bullion, you have rare coins, and then you have something which is commonly called world gold or fractional gold. Now, I don't really care to speak to bullion today because I know you hit it, and I think your listeners are probably bullion savvy, if you will. But I concentrate more in rare coins and the world gold coins, and I thought maybe that's what I would talk about today. Is that good with you, Melody?
I think it's great. It's always great to hear other opinions, and I believe one of the there's just so much misinformation, disinformation about coins.
Yes.
And we talk about it regularly here on this program, so it's always good to hear someone else talk about it. And not only misinformation, just flat-out lies. And a lot of it involves, some of the lower-grade $20 gold pieces or any collectible numismatic coin. And people have a hard time understanding the difference between rare coins and what I call investment coins. So, yes, please, I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, last time we tended to get off a little bit on a subject that we were talking about, those investment-grade, high-grade, very rare coins. And I think I didn't do a good enough job of talking a little bit about the more common rare coins that we come into, which are beautiful and certainly should be of interest to many people. I think, first of all, going into it, you really want to have coins that you put your money into that are certainly attractive. Attractive coins, about uncirculated or brilliant uncirculated coins, to me, have an eye appeal. There's something when you look at them, you say, wow, those are really nice. For instance, this last week, I sent you some bright British sovereigns, BUs. And I think when you got them, you looked at those, Melody, and said, wow, those are really neat coins. And we do the same thing with the 20s. We try to get them so that when somebody puts out hard-earned money, they can say, wow, there's a real wow factor in this coin. You want a coin that is recognizable, one that, when somebody says, hey, I got a $20 saint, then most people understand what you're talking about. You want coins that are kind of on the side, not reportable transactions when you buy or sell them. And you really want coins that have a recurring demand, and that's very important when you sell them. So what meets that? Well, I think I mentioned last time one of my favorite coins was the $20 saints in 63 to 65, particularly those that are certified by either NGC or PCGS. And that, to me, is a coin that no longer is made. Because it's no longer made, it has a historic value. It's a rare coin. The condition is a really fine one. And it has a beauty and a historical significance that all put together to be really what I would define as a store of value. And I think when you look at rare coins like that, and you say, gee, I'd rather kind of have a piece of American history, that's the coin to go through. I think the 20s, the 10s, and the 5s. The rest of the coins, the $1 golds, the $3 golds, the $4 Stellas, those coins, I think those are the investment-grade coins or coins that really appeal to people that are more of a collector rather than an accumulator and of value.
Can you tell us the difference between a collector and an accumulator? I think I understand what you're saying.
Well,
go ahead and give us a little better definition of how you see the difference between. Both of them are collecting coins in a sense. Both of them have them in a safe, a jar, a jug buried in the backyard or on the safety deposit box. What's the difference between the accumulator and a collector?
The collector is somebody that is really turned on, if you will, by a certain coin or series of coins. I think I mentioned last time I have a friend in New Jersey who collects no model $5 Liberties in very high grade. That is a coin collector. Those coins are rare. I don't think they have they share a huge amount of collector interest, but for whatever reason, my friend has found that to be something that he's really fascinated by. And if you go on to the NGC site to show the, you know, the finest grade collections, he's number one in $5 Liberty no motto coins, and good on him. But he does it not with the idea of a store of value, but just something that he likes to do and he respects, and he thinks that's really great. Indifference, when I walk around and people talk to me about gold, the majority of people seem to be concerned about the financial stability of our country, the store of value, the shrinking value of the dollar, you know, so many aspects that we're talking about dealing with in our economy. And I think an accumulator is one who is trying to buy gold coins that will be a store value in case of crises. And there's a big difference between the two. Now you can have collectors that are also accumulators, but I think a lot of people today are what I would call accumulators.
Two questions. If you are a collector and you are accumulating a series of coins that are, in the instance of your friend, no motto, there's no motto on the particular coin, so it's unusual, it's more rare than a lot of numismatic coins, do the collections themselves ultimately take on a greater value than a mere accumulation? For example, if I have a collection of 100 no-motto coins, each one is 1 ounce, and I have a collection of 100 of them, do they, by virtue of being collected, do they take on a greater value than if I had 100 gold coins that were just a random distribution of pre-1933 with no organizing theme? Do the collections command a little more money, or is it just, you know?
Yeah, I know your question. I'd answer it this way. When I started making comments, remember I mentioned two things. I said popularity is important, and there's a pattern to the market. You know, sometimes coins, some certain coins come more into demand than others over time. My answer to that would be that if somebody is got 100 no motto 5 libs, yeah, there might be some value, but what's the popularity? I don't know. I'd be a little more broad-based, and that's kind of why I think the 5 libs, you know, the 10 Indians, the 10 libs, 20 saints and libs are a lot more sensible.
So the collection per se is pretty much just a personal, just I want Indian heads. Okay, it's just me. I just want Indian heads, and that's what I want. It creates a collection, but it doesn't achieve any additional value beyond what the coins would have on their own. You talked a little bit about store of value earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all gold will preserve wealth, but which, if any of your three classes, you've got bullion, rare coins, and world gold. And by world gold, we're talking about things like foreign coins, sovereigns. You describe them as fractional coins, and I think you mean they are a fraction. They're not a full ounce. They're roughly a fifth of an ounce, a quarter of an ounce, something like that. Which of your three classes of coins, they'll all preserve wealth, will any one of your three classes of coins be more likely to generate a profit over time?
I think you can't look at it as to if there's going to be a profit over time. I think the priority is to look at the store of value that it is. And we all know, you know, when I started in this business, I think gold was at 372 or thereabouts. And we've ridden this up. Gold right now is around 1570. Those people that bought 10 years ago are great. Do you call that profit? I don't know. I call that certainly a well-founded hedge against inflation. People that have held gold historically for a number of years make out. If that's called profit, I guess it is. But I look at it as a wise investment.
It depends on purchasing power. They'll store your value in what you could buy with an ounce of gold 20 years ago, in theory, is what you could buy today with an ounce of gold. That's merely protected your purchasing power. But some coins, what you could buy for an ounce, 1 ounce coin back 20, 50 years ago with that coin, today you have higher purchasing power. And I assume that's going to be true particularly for the numismatic coins. The price is not only higher to correspond to inflation, but it almost follows to me that it has to go up. The numismatics have to go up ultimately more than the bullion. However much the bullion goes up, numismatics have to go up at least that high. But because they are special and they're no longer being manufactured, ultimately they become increasingly rare. Population increases, demand increases. Price should go up even more than inflation, or at least that's the way I'd look at it. Well, is that valid, or is it overly optimistic?
No, I think that makes sense. I prefer not to do bullion. I prefer rare coins and world gold for exactly that reason. And what I also like to do is I like to be able to compute the value of a coin as you're going along, and the formula for that is really simple. You take the spot price of gold, and you multiply it times the actual gold weight of whatever that the coin you're talking about, and then you add a premium to it. So today, I'm just taking a look at it, $20 Saint, for instance, which has an actual gold weight of just under an ounce, 0.9675. And if you have the spot price of gold of 1570, the actual melt value of that coin is 1520, roughly, 1516, something like that. The premium on those coins is someplace to the north side of $300 a coin. But I maintain that over time, those premiums will tend to increase or at least stay about the same. That's the numismatic value that's in that coin. That varies a little bit, but it's always interesting. And I think that before somebody buys a coin, they should do that little computation, and it gives them a good insight into what the value of that coin is, and then you kind of plot it over time. It's very, very similar to what you would do tracking your stock portfolio.
Let's suppose, for the sake of argument, that a particular coin. Matter of fact, we're getting so. I'll save that question until we get to the break. Till we return from the break, we are here with Mr. David Krieger talking about gold coins. And maybe we'll even talk about, we'll get in a question on silver before we're done here. We're going to take a break with some commercial announcements. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, Mr. David Krieger on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.
$149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Mr. David Krieger. We are talking about gold coins and one of the comments that we made a moment ago. Unless, Melody, do you have something you wanted to ask?
David, we often see that premium rise significantly higher than what the melt value of the $300. That is pushed higher mainly by supply and demand? I mean...
Yeah, it is. And, I pull that out as an example of, just one coin. I think that they vary quite a bit. It depends on everything from the beauty of that coin, what particular coin it is. I was simply just trying to really talk about the computation of the melt value, and then figuring out where the premium comes in. That's pretty common all coins, but those premiums can vary quite a bit. And if you have a particular coin that has particularly desirable features on it, those things can climb very high, very fast.
You'd mentioned melt value.
Yes.
You were talking about the melt value of coins, of gold coins. And generally speaking, the only time people melt coins down and turn them into just bullion of any kind is when the coins are actually worth less than the intrinsic metal content.
Yeah. Well,
some point, nobody's actually melting gold coins. This is, I assume that's true. Is it true?
Well, when I talk about melt value, it's only because in my end of the market, a lot of people are interested in that. They say, well, what's the melt value of that coin? And it particularly comes into play in the fractional or the world gold coins. And if we could talk about that, I'd kind of appreciate it. I think world gold is a really interesting area, and I think that there's been so much sales of it, and there's so much out there that maybe your listeners would be interested in hearing some of it.
Absolutely, well, because that's what my special is based on. So.
Ah. Well, it's good. World gold, countries throughout the world, over time, have produced many coins and many gold coins. But again, when you're talking about recognition of what that coin is or the popularity of a certain coin, it seems that they come down to just a very few that kind of meet the standard of, if I'm accumulating gold and I want to have gold coins in my availability for use as a store of value during a time of emergency, what would I do? Well, there's really three the more common ones that I think rise to meet the recognition factor, the beauty factor, the good condition, the consistent demand over time. A lot of people know about them, and they're easy to buy and sell. They're not reportable. They are just really good coins, and they're less than an ounce. And I always kind of laugh, Melody. I think that down here in Florida about 10 years ago, there was a flood in your area of Pennsylvania that knocked out all the ATMs in Florida for a couple weeks. And I've thought back on that for a while, and it was hard to go to the grocery store. It was, you know, it was hard to buy stuff if you didn't have money, and a lot of people weren't able to do that. Yeah. Now, if that happened today, and you walk down to the local Kroger's or Albertson's, Publix or whatever, and you tried to get a couple bags of groceries, and you whipped out a $2,000 coin and said, "Hey, do you have change for a $2,000?" That doesn't work so well. But if you have a gold coin that's bright and beautiful, AUBU, that somebody says wow to when you're trying to trade. A British sovereign that has an actual gold weight of about a quarter ounce, or a French or Swiss franc that has about a fifth of an ounce, I think you have a lot more reasonable chance of doing something that's financially responsible. So I like the sovereigns, the Swiss francs, and the French roosters and angels. I will say that on the French roosters, they were minted from 1906 to 1914, but essentially from 1907 1914 dates, a lot of them are restrikes. Now, that doesn't mean they have any less gold or anything else, but they are recognized as restrikes, and some people don't like that. They want to stick before, you know, to have coins that are dated before 1933, and that would, in the French fractionals, that would mean angels, which have dates from 1871 to 1906. The British sovereigns, there are a number of them. They were first minted in 1817. They continued until 1925, essentially, when George V made it onto the British sovereign. I think that George V sovereign is probably the most beautiful of them all. It's the most recognizable. During World War II, they were carried in survival kits of pilots that were going through. I understand that Desert Storm, Desert Shield, they were carried. They're one of the most widely recognized coins in the world. And I know you know this, Melody, but when the Greece financial crisis was going on, I was trying to find sovereigns in America. And it turned out that other wholesalers were shipping them over to Greece because there was such a demand in Greece for them as a store of value, because they remembered, I think, from World War II, that British sovereigns provided that stability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead. Excuse me.
No, that's okay. I probably need a break. Right.
One of the questions that comes to my mind. We're comparing foreign coins. We're talking about foreign coins. And ultimately, we are implicitly comparing them to United States gold coins. The United States has a relatively short history of minting gold coins, only about 150 years, if I understand correctly. You can correct me, and I'm not counting gold eagles, which are being minted right now. But the pre-1933, roughly 140, 150 years. That short history implies that there might be less U.S. coins available, and they take on a numismatic value for that reason. You get to Europe. They have been restriking some of the coins you'd mentioned. I think you were talking about, perhaps you mentioned the French roosters being restruck. Is that true?
That's correct. That's what it was.
All right.
The rooster. Yep.
Do the foreign coins have... Are they as likely to have numismatic value as the American coins, or are we just talking about a question of recognition and a long history? In other words, they've been pumping out their coins maybe for a couple hundred years before we started making gold coins in this country, just because we're a newer country. Does that difference in history make any difference relative to the coins or not?
Well, I'm sure it does. I mean, there are literally hundreds of millions of British sovereigns that have been minted over mm-hmm. the years, and you're right. I mean, the American gold coins are fewer in number than British sovereigns. But I think there's two different purposes in what those coins serve, the way I see it, at least. The American United States gold coins are, you know, excellent. I like them. I sell Melody, a number of five libs. I think we both really enjoy those coins. There's reasons for doing them. 20s and 10s, those are the standard ones. I keep repeating that because those are the three of all the American coins that really are for, you know, intended for what I would call a consumer, the person trying to get a store of value, put their money away, and do it in the right way. I like those graded coins, particularly for people who are not good at telling the grade of a coin. I think that costs a little bit more to have a graded coin, but I think many people sleep better at night knowing that there's a third-party grading service like the Numismatic Guarantee Corporation or Professional Coin Grading Service that have certified their coins to be authentic and stand behind it in case they made a mistake. They stand behind it and they're up front and they, you know, will replace that coin if there is something wrong with it. I think those are wonderful things. But the world gold serves a different purpose, and that to me is that, I like to have a tube of Swiss francs or British sovereigns with me. Now, when I say a tube, a tube, what we use in the business is a plastic PVC-free tube that is 1 inch square and 3 inches tall, and basically holds 50 Swiss francs or French angels, or 45 sovereigns, and that's a fair amount of money in there. I frequently will show somebody that here's a 1 inch by 1 inch by 3 inch tube, and it's $20,000+ worth of gold in there. But it's easy to put in your safe. It's easy to put out of sight. It's easy to have. It's something that's easy to buy and sell, and it's less than an ounce. And I like those. And for instance, I just accumulated 100 BU British sovereigns. They're great coins. They're all George the Fifth. They're all BU. And I'm offering those up, to Melody. I think they're really good, and I think it's something that fills a void that augments the collection of American gold.
Silver would presumably also fill that void. Is that true? Okay. In other words, the silver is what you're saying, that the 1 ounce coins are. 1 ounce gold coins are great for storing value, and they're perhaps a great investment, but they're not very convenient for most transactions. You're not going to buy groceries with them. You may be able to buy an expensive product like an automobile or a house with them, but they're not going to be convenient for small purchases. You're recommending smaller fractional size gold coins, and at the same time, you might also be talking about silver, and I'm curious if you think that your breakdown comparing bullion silver to numismatic silver to foreign fractional silver, if there is such a thing, do you apply the same breakdown to silver, or is silver significantly different from gold?
No, I think silver makes a lot of sense also. I mean, American Silver Eagle is a great coin. It's beautiful. You know, everybody recognizes it. It's fine. And I think you could make the argument that you could buy an awful lot of groceries for some American Silver Eagles as well. But I think there's a role for 90% silver. That's very hard to get right now. The premiums are very high. Obviously, people are recognizing that that has a role in there. But just on a personal view, I'll just tell you, I go to gun shows. I go and I enjoy it. I enjoy having my various handguns and rifles, and I need ammunition. You know, do you realize that right now, the last gun show I went to, a box of 522 rifle bullets was close to $100, and I think it's going to be increasing, and I think it's getting harder to do. I think American Silver Eagles, 90%, have a role. I think you may need something with a little bit more value that would come into in terms of an emergency supply. And I think that, you know, having different a variety of holdings makes sense.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we give Melody
yes.
a chance here to talk about the special, because we've got about 2 minutes left or thereabouts. And
I don't think I'm going to have power much longer. So let's get this out real quick, folks. We have some BU King sovereigns that David was talking about, the British sovereigns, and from 1 to 20. It's a great price, $410 each, and if you purchase 20 or more, we'll drop it to $405. And it's really a great price on those coins. The regular price on those would sell for about $434. So you're getting a steal at $410, 1 to 20, and 20 or more, $405. And of course, 20 or more will also include all your shipping costs on that. So we have a lot of them available. We have about 100 of them available for you. BU King Sovereigns. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
All right, we've got about 30 seconds left. Melody, is there something you and or David would like to add?
Well, I'd like to thank David and okay. For joining us, and hopefully he'll accept to come back. We get a lot of I hear a lot of great comments about him being on the program. So we want to thank you, David.
Well, you're more than welcome, Melody. I really appreciate the time, and it's fun. Thank you.
Yep, it's fun. But we are out of fun right now because we're out of time. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom and David Krieger. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, David, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money, always sunny.